This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ask the same question to Zach Jackson from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Akron Jackson. Morning, Zach.
Kenneth, do you have an update on the Akron job?
I think it's going to end up being Tom Arth.
All's been very quiet.
You know better than me, though.
I would hate to dive into unsubstantiated rumors on such a high-class show.
Wait a minute. That sounds like something else right there. You can't just say unsubstantiated rumors. It's got to be the real deal.
Reckless speculation.
The hell?
I mean, I'd be all for Tom Arth. There are two Northeast Ohio institutions where they excel in football and in academics, and that's St. Ignatius and Manchester. So I'd be all for Tom Arth, given his background.
Zach Jackson joining us on the show. Well, let me ask you a question I'm going to ask Andrew Brandt here in about an hour. You're going to say no. Would you interview Greg Williams to be the head coach and give him a serious consideration to be the head coach?
Yes. He knows your team. He knows the league. And your team has played at a level at which it hasn't played in 11 years under Greg Williams. Now, you have to take into account the circumstances, and you have to take into account, you know, the whole big picture. Your organization's never been here because you've never felt like you could write the quarterback in pen instead of pencil, or just speculate on who the quarterback would be. So that interview is real, and it's probably first, you know, unless they actually interview Matt Campbell or Lincoln Riley, which we're probably not going to know that answer. Then it's like, okay, you know, how do they finish? How do we feel? I really feel bad for you guys having to do this 4 hours a day. And thank goodness they won a couple games, because imagine if they hadn't won these games and you had to sit here. Because you don't know, and I don't know, and we don't know. Only John Dorsey knows. And there's a possibility that he doesn't know until he sits with these guys on January 6th or beyond in some cases.
That's interesting, that's interesting you mentioned Matt Campbell. He just took a buyout, or he just elevated the buyout and took an extension.
No, I don't believe the buyout was elevated. I believe he took the extension for the assistants, but I do not, from what I saw in the Des Moines Register, the buyout was not elevated. And also, unless it was super elevated from the $7 million, that would not be a factor.
So
the Matt Campbell extension, the way I read it, was designed to keep his assistants from getting poached by other teams and allow them to recruit the way they should be coming off this outstanding season that they just had.
So he would still be in play for you?
I've said all along, I truly believe that he would get an interview. I don't believe that he would get hired, but I truly believe that he would get an interview in this cycle and that we would not know about it.
All right, Zach Jackson joining us right now from the Athletic A to Z podcast as well. So there's no doubt the team is playing so much better than they were. I think some of it coincides with Baker and his normal evolution. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback, and because they did not give him snaps that many early before the year, and because he wasn't starting preseason games, and because Tyrod Taylor started the year, there was going to be a bit of a learning curve. With all of that said, they move the ball up and down against bad defenses, against the two teams that are going to the playoffs that they played, Houston and Kansas City. They lost by double digits. How do we evaluate the job that Greg Williams is doing?
Well, Baker crushed the learning curve, that's for sure. How do you evaluate the job Greg Williams is doing? We can't do in this segment. We can't do in one show. It's clear that the guys have a renewed energy, enthusiasm for playing football. And then when you look around at the NFL and you look around at how low the bar has been over here, it's just as clear to say, well, when you have the quarterback, everybody's a genius, right? So they have played really well. I was impressed by how they responded, not only to the Houston loss, but to Carolina getting up early, Carolina being on the attack early. And then when Carolina's coaches did what they did, and it was clear that Cam was playing with one arm and that one is not his throwing arm. The Browns won the game, and they deserve credit for that. Now, Carolina is on its way to becoming the first team in NFL history to go from 6-2 to 6-10. But Baker has been really good, and as I've said over and over, the most important thing is he's been everything the Browns advertised him to be in making him that choice. And when you also look around at the young guys on the other side of the ball and Nick Chubb and the way Jarvis Landry played the other day, it's never in this new era been a more exciting time to think about the Browns because, you know, you go back to December of 2002 when they made the playoffs. Like, they lost to Carolina. Julius Peppers was on that team too, by the way. And then they all these crazy things happened. They snuck in the playoffs. You go back to December of 2007, and they all these scenarios had to happen, and all but one did happen, and they missed the playoffs. And now they're not going to make the playoffs this year, but you're absolutely going into next year thinking that you have a playoff team. And that hasn't been the case.
Absolutely. And I think the bar has 100% been raised. I give more credit to Baker Mayfield than I do anybody else, but I get that fans want to give it to Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens because we just haven't seen any kind of coaching in years here in Cleveland. But, you know, it's been brought up, some people on social media, and I think it's a great point. When those guys took over, they have absolutely nothing to lose. So it's fun to run different formations, and it's fun to throw stuff at the wall and see if it works. And these guys have responded to it, to the youngest football team in the league. What happens if you hire those guys? Are they still coaching with nothing to lose?
That's a good question. You have to evaluate them in the scope of January to August, and then navigating games of significance that come down to the wire, right? Like so many games this year when the Browns were playing with nothing to lose, and a couple of them the other team was playing with nothing to gain, or, you know, the one now that stands out in Oakland that they don't win, and they would be a legitimate playoff contender if not for that game. So I would just say this. Let's watch these last three games. The Broncos are banged up and weren't good to start with. The Browns can win. The Browns should win, have to win, that Bengals game. And then whether these crazy mathematical scenarios are alive or not, there's a really good chance that that final Sunday at either 4:25 or 8:25, the Ravens are going to be playing for something. So you're going to see the Browns, and you see them in a must-win playoff-type game this week, the Freddie Kitchens, Greg Williams, Browns. And John Dorsey will be watching too. And so in 3 weeks, I think it'll be worth discussing, or maybe it won't be. Right now, it just goes in circles.
You know, Greg Williams is 60 years old. I don't know if I like the term nothing to lose for Freddie Kitchens, though, because, you know, he's only been at most an offensive coordinator, and that was just this year. He's 44 years old. If he were to prove to be reckless with Baker Mayfield, who's a rookie out there, that could kill him for the rest of his career as far as upward mobility, wouldn't it?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but, I mean, he has coached with nothing to lose without exposing Baker to that stuff. And Baker's pocket presence, I mean, the throw to Jarvis the other day was unreal, and it was one of 100, although Baker would tell you he can do it every time. But what really set it up was feeling the pressure and knowing that to get it to anybody, let alone Jarvis, he had to step up, and he made the first guy miss, and then he slid way over and gave himself a chance to even make that throw. So I don't think by coaching and saying we're going to let it all hang out, he's trying to get Baker hurt or he's doing anything stupid. I just think sometimes his trick plays have been a little mistimed. But, I mean, when you are in week 14 in the NFL and showing teams formations they haven't seen, like, you're doing really well. And obviously he is playing to Baker's strengths and Baker trusts in the calls that they're making. I mean, Baker said after the game, that touchdown I just referenced, that's a red zone play. That's a third and three play. And they turned it into a 55-yard touchdown. So, you know, I don't think that it's to the extreme. And the same with Greg. He comes in the first day on the job and he says he's got 11 head coaching offers, and everybody's like, oh my God, we are so tired of listening to this guy lie. And since then, we've gotten subdued, professional, focused on the day at hand, Greg. And there's been, you know, with the exception of references to John Heisman and Curly Lambeau, we have not heard anything outrageous from Greg. And obviously, he's had the guys ready to play every Sunday morning.
Zach Jackson, join us on the hotline. You know, we're talking about all these playoff permutations and everything, and yet, you know, the last game, Baker was like, hey, last home game of the year, I want to see that place completely full. And some people were like, is that a shot at the fans or whatever? Zach, you've been in that stadium, a half-empty stadium, for the last 20 years. Would you be surprised if everything is still on the table if that place wasn't jam-packed coming up in a few weeks?
Yeah, I don't see any scenario. I mean, if they win, you know, if they were to win by 2 touchdowns this week, which they could, maybe. But, I mean, the Bengals are bad. It's really cold. It's 2 days before Christmas. I mean, I understand what Baker's getting at. And God bless the fans that go out and brave it. But I totally understand why people wouldn't go. Now, next year, these ticket folks, I think they're going to make some commission. And they're going to have probably a Monday night home game to sell. I think the Jets will be on Thursday again, but that's out in New York. So maybe a Thursday night home game. And big games. Really big games, but I would be shocked if it's a true sellout or really close on December 23rd. Because I mean, only a certain amount of people want to sit in 11 degree weather to tell Hugh what they think of him. I mean, they do it on Twitter every single day.
Could Mike Tomlin get canned at the end of the season?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to have a mea culpa on that or not. I come on here and I say, Anthony, the Steelers have had 3 coaches in our lifetime. Will you quit talking about Mike Tomlin getting fired? And then I watch the Steelers the last 2 Sundays, and I think, oh boy, Mike Tomlin might get fired. So that's not their MO. And given that, you know, this window stays open, I think, another year as far as Ben's only playing because he's got this guaranteed money. AB's not going anywhere. Juju's not going anywhere. I'd be surprised. But, I mean, as I watch this thing unfold all year long and the Ravens started playing better, you know, I started looking at Week 15, Steelers-Patriots, Week 16, Steelers at New Orleans. And now all those teams need those games. You know, everybody's – there's not a single bye clinched around the league. Everybody's playing for positioning of some sort. So if the Steelers don't hit another gear, then they could lose 4 in a row. And then things could be really, really interesting.
It's pretty amazing that they have all that exceptional talent. They've put in a more Brownsian effort in December than certainly the Browns have here this season. If he were to become available, now that is a question of motivation. Do the Browns just go and get themselves Mike Tomlin and bring him in here? Because that was something obviously Lima brought up, and we made it one of the would you rather questions.
Again, I think, and only John Dorsey can answer this, I think, you know, a year and a week on the job, John Dorsey has a pretty good feel for the roster, for the organization, for what the next steps should be, right? So I think there's a certain decision he makes. Do I need to be in the Arians, Harbaugh, McCarthy, Tomlin category, or can I go take a chance on a young guy, offensive mind, and we grow together? You know, do we need immediate fixes, immediate things to button up and go do what we need to do, which is contend for the playoffs next year? Or if I found the coach that 3 years from now is going to really bring success here. So only he can answer that based on what he sees and feels the next steps are.
Zach Jackson joining us on the hotline. I did want to transition to something I thought you might have some interesting thoughts on. Now that we're going to get into bowl season here in college football, and thank God we're not talking about quarterbacks for the future, but you saw West Virginia's, Greer is not going to play in their bowl game. I heard a rumor over the weekend. Get the reckless speculation ready. I heard that it's not set in stone that Haskins is going to be starting that Rose Bowl game. I heard it's not set. Hit the button. It's
reckless speculation.
Who knows? We'll see. Sometimes, Zach, we get those rumors from the same people, and they're wrong every single time.
Well, I have not heard that, and he said on record that he was. But
I know.
It's funny that you say that, because today on The Athletic Cleveland, I will have a story about that, about the decisions that are made, that Jabril Peppers made 2 years ago, that Denzel Ward made last year, in which not only Denzel Ward talks about how all of his teammates and coaches supported his decision, but I also reached out to NFL scouts, who basically say they don't care, you know, if guys skip unless there's a pattern of behavior. And one said specifically, if it was my son, I would tell him to sit.
Well, that was going to be my question that you answered, because this is becoming, I don't want to say a rash yet or a trend, but there's more of it than we've ever seen. And people say, well, that's why you got to expand the playoff to 8. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I mean, I think the answer is pretty clear. Christian McCaffrey sat. He's having a really good career, right? Denzel Ward sat. It worked out. He went 4th in the draft. He's going to the Pro Bowl. So, again,
You can read the Athletic Cleveland later today for some insight from guys who have been doing this for their whole adult lives. But it's the consensus that I have found is that it's something that makes headlines on Pro Football Talk and gives you guys a segment to talk about, but internally is not a big deal whatsoever. Now, is there a thought that it could affect a playoff game? Or is it a thought that some guy who already has a bad reputation could do it and affect his draft status? Yes, but that hasn't happened yet. So, again, that's reckless speculation. So,
oh, my God.
Reckless speculation.
I got even more. I got even more. You guys were texting each other an hour ago about that. Go ahead.
No.
Speculation.
Anthony.
Hey, I know you guys come on here and lie every day, so you can't keep them all straight.
Reckless speculation.
But before the season, you guys, it wasn't a bet, but we made a pact on this show that if the Browns won 7 games, that I would have to come on and sing Super Bowl Super Browns with you.
Oh, my God, I forgot.
Yeah, and so now they're sitting on 5, and the Bengals is 6, and they get one of the other ones. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh my God! You got me in.
In
got me
studio?
In
Are we talking in studio?
Oh, yes. Drag his ass in here, and I want it on Facebook Live. I want everybody to see the greatest sad bastard that I've ever been around. I want you in sweatpants and all, because I forgot about that. I want you in your sweats and your very Sunday best, Zach, and you gotta say. Full vigor, too. No half-ass effort. I want you yelling Super Bowl Super Browns with us.
Well, I would say that you, when you do the Greg Williams show this week, which I've been predicting for 2 years would happen.
Browns huddle, Zach.
That you tell
And you
Greg,
said it was Todd Haley.
That you tell Greg to win this week, because that would be the one. Baltimore's going to need that game. So that would be this week would be the one that probably determines do they win 6 or do they win 7.
Wow.
Oh, please. Please, someone go tell Baker. You got to win this game. He's just the worst type of individual. And to make him to say Super Bowl, I'm talking about him like he ain't even on the air with us anymore. To make him do Super Bowl Super Browns. Zach, I'll see you in hell. Thank you for the time.
My God.
Zach Jackson, The Athletic.
That would be something else.
On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yes, that would be something else. That's one way to put it. I want to talk a little bit more about Freddie Kitchens coming up at 9. Next, though, we do got a chance for you to win Cavs Bulls tickets. And you better get your coffee ready and set your alarm clock, because the Browns are going to be on late a lot in 2019.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.